In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto Thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against Thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to Thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring Thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given Thine only begotten Son that for us, have mercy upon us, and for His sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by Thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of Thee and of Thy will. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on His name He giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them His Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
I will tell of your name to my brothers.
In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord.
And all the families of nations shall worship before you.
For kingship belongs to the Lord.
And He rules over the nations.
All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship.
Before Him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive.
Posterity shall serve Him.
It shall foretold the Lord, the coming generation.
They shall come and proclaim His righteousness to a people yet unborn.
That He has done.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will tell of your name to my brothers.
In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you.
To God on high.
Thank you.
Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 9. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as one as on the day of Midian. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom. Lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. This is the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord, all nations.
Extol him, all peoples.
For great is his steadfast love toward us.
And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Bring an offering and come into his courts.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nest and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria. And they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. Here endeth the gospel.
I believe in the God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into hell. The third day he rose again.
name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This Life Sunday, as we take some time out of the year to meditate on the gift of life and the dignity of human life in particular, I'd like to remind you of those words we heard on Christmas Day. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh. This is a miracle that we know, which we perceive by faith, but we cannot fully grasp. We read in Holy Scripture how even the angels in heaven marvel at the miracle of the Incarnation. It is a miracle far beyond the understanding even of the heavenly hosts. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is God. And herein lies the dignity of man. Not simply that we are created by God and given the gift of life. Not simply that we are created in the image of God originally. But that eternal, almighty, infinite, and everlasting God was incarnate to stand among us in his own human flesh. The one who created time put himself in that time, in history, in a place for the life of us, his children. And dearly beloved, what infinite God has assumed, what immortal God has taken upon himself, what almighty God has redeemed is of infinite value. And what did he assume? What did he take upon himself? He entered the world the same way that you did. He came as an infinitesimally small cell, the fullness of infinite God, and man at his most finite, all in one divinely fertilized egg. Behold the Virgin. God has come out from heavenly light, from behind the heavenly temple veil, and yet you still cannot see him. The light has entered the darkness, but he remains hidden for a time, for 9 months, behind the veil of Mary's flesh. The child not yet born, but already called holy, Son of the Most High, Son of God. No one could see him, but God was in his temple, dwelling with his people. This is the great mystery of our Christian faith. God at work, but hidden. You cannot see him within his mother. Does that which resides in a mother's belly lack dignity because we cannot see it? Because it is so small? Dearly beloved, what God has assumed is of infinite value. God was found in the appearance as a man, taking the form of a servant, as the Apostle Paul says, and it begins in the Virgin's womb. In order to defeat sin, death, and the devil, that unholy trinity to which man is bound because of our weakness, God takes upon himself weakness. This is the Lord of the universe in weakness. An embryo so fragile, mighty God, guarded by nothing stronger than the flesh of Mary's womb. Hidden in the darkness, but coming to bring light. Let's not move past this too fast. Jesus, true God, begotten from eternity, once a zygote himself, and then later in the wonder of life and human birth, born of the Virgin Mary. The eternal, omnipotent Son from heaven, an embryo cared for in the mercy of his mother's womb. We become accustomed to the strange sound, but biblical truth of sayings like, God sat on Mary's lap. God ate and drank with his friends. God died. The one who created the heavens and the earth became flesh, blood, and bone like us. You just have to look at any newborn baby to get a sense of what your God was like and what he had become to save us. The one who has no beginning, sent by the Father, knit together by the Holy Spirit in the dark protection of Mary's womb, born of his virgin mother. A God who comes weak, little baby weak, precisely to bring about salvation. This is how our God works. He has begun this marvelous thing. Now we move ahead 3 decades later. As we heard last week, his cousin John is publicly proclaiming Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John preaches and points to the grown-up Jesus. Although John had already worshipped Jesus once before from the womb of his own mother, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, that was the same John, that yet unborn baby boy, leaping for joy in the presence of his Creator God. 30 years later, at the river, John is still worshiping Jesus. There is Jesus, there goes God, into the River Jordan, where John's message has been, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And the Father proclaims, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And the heavens opened up, and the Holy Spirit descends like a dove. But don't miss the fact that it is God himself standing in the water, standing where we sinners stand, looking just like us. And then the Spirit leads Jesus out into the desert to do what? To battle the devil for 40 days. And there we see Jesus, true man, the second and greatest Adam of all, saying, "Away from me, Satan, and even the devil must obey." All this brings us to this Epiphany season, to this day. John the Baptist is now in prison for his preaching. It will get worse for him, as we heard recently. He will be beheaded, because the world which sits in darkness is opposed to this life-giving word of God. And yet, the word cannot be stopped. John is arrested, but now his message is on Jesus' own lips. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus has begun to fulfill the words of Isaiah prophesied long ago in centuries past. So having remembered the miracle of the incarnation this morning, we know what is really happening in today's text. That it is Jesus, it is God who is traveling through Galilee. It is God who is leaving Nazareth, God who lives in Capernaum, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Such mundane, faraway locations, land, sea, Jordan, Zebulun, Naphtali, all so ordinary when Isaiah first spoke of them hundreds of years before, and just as ordinary sounding to us today as we hear Matthew's gospel recounting Jesus' travels. But these mundane earthly places are places that God himself visited. God takes such deep interest in places we find boring and insignificant. First the womb, then the manger, then the Jordan, Zebulun, Naphtali, and now here. This pulpit from which he speaks to you, and this altar from which he feeds you, bringing the kingdom of heaven near. It is at hand because the kingdom of heaven is wherever Jesus the King is. The one who was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary then is still and forever incarnate. Word incarnate, body incarnate, blood incarnate, seated at the right hand of the Father and also seated upon this altar for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. This place, Zion, Evangelical Lutheran Church, has much in common with those ancient lands, which is why Jesus comes to us, because of the darkness. Or what God calls darkness, and what God calls a thing is what it really is. Matthew and Isaiah both say it, and you hear it this morning. People sitting, just sitting in darkness, suffering in darkness, crying in darkness, mourning in darkness. Indeed, we are only separated from Zebulun and Naphtali by incidental things like time and geography, yet in all the ways that count, we are very much like them. They are living in the land of the shadow of death, which is to say that they are sitting where death has been and always will come again. Death in your ailing bodies, death around you, plenty of funerals. Death is at work all around us, as witnessed by the cemetery across the street. Each grave marked by a marker, identifying the person lying there, a commemoration to them from those who loved them during their earthly life. And hopefully, even a scripture verse, inscribed in the stone that confesses them as one who is loved still by the Father and lives still with the Father in heaven with Christ. But death is at work in the shadows as well. As you drive by the Planned Parenthood Clinic in Fort Wayne, behind nondescript walls in a sterile room, death is at work. Doctors ply their trade to kill. Death not marked, death not mourned, death not seen as a tragedy, but as a triumph of self-actualization, of women's liberation. The Lord Jesus tells us to judge a tree by its fruit. What are the fruits of this ideology? Some 60 million dead. Indeed, we sit in darkness and death is at work. We hear the mantra, "My body, my choice," echoing throughout the land. It is a demonic inversion of the Lord's own words. "Take, eat, this is my body given for you for the forgiveness of sins." And there is something we must remember, dearly beloved. We are not our own. It is not her body, it is not your body, it is not my body. But after the cross of Christ, who died for all bodies are bought by Jesus, redeemed by Jesus. You and every child conceived in the foreknowledge of God, before the foundation of the world, bought with blood, not with gold or silver, not with money, but by the blood of God, which means the bodies of mothers and fathers, the bodies of the child yet unborn in the womb, whether we can see him or her or not, has infinite value. It has the value of the very blood of God. But still, this is a sinful age, and so still we sit in darkness. It could be that long, silent darkness of a pressured mother weeping because her child never had a birthday, and she wishes it had been not that way. And pressure from a husband or parents, or particularly from a boyfriend, is one of the most common reasons for an abortion. Or it could be the darkness of the young man who looks back and cries because he will always be a father to a child who will not sit at his table, whom he did not protect and whom he did not provide for. The darkness of looking back on a time when darkness and death seemed like a good alternative for a difficult situation, a quick treatment for an unfortunate or unplanned pregnancy that only God saw and found fortunate. Your wife, your daughter, your relatives, Christians indeed, have abortions. In a country and a culture where the lie is so powerful, many find abortion, find darkness an appealing idol, and death a helpful cure. But how does that person, how do you, how do I, get out of that darkness? We don't. We can't. We can't claw our way out of the darkness. There is only the light that breaks in from outside, outside of us, outside of this world. The light that dawns, fulfilling exactly what the prophet Isaiah prophesies. Jesus is the only light for our darkness, and he brings with him mercy. It is easy for us Christians to say that God, that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. But when it comes to those certain sins, whatever we have in the dark from our past, we torment ourselves as if that is certainly the only sin that Jesus won't forgive or can't forgive. My abortion, my acquiescence to an abortion, my adultery, my silence, my lies, or whatever that evil day was or is. But God will have none of that. He says this, "The people who walked in darkness see a great light. Those who dwelt in the shadow of the land of death, upon them a light has shined." Isaiah can't say enough about it. This bright light who shatters the darkness, it is Jesus, God incarnate, forgiveness, salvation, my sin undone. Yes, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Dearly beloved, the light has dawned on us. This Jesus, God's Son, has been given to fight your enemies for you. All sin and death and the accusing power of the law were instead placed upon Jesus, and they did their best on him. And in putting Christ to death on the cross, they defeated themselves. They put themselves to death. It is the foolishness of God, the weakness of man, the weakness of the man Jesus dying for us. It is like the foolishness on the day of Midian, with Gideon's foolish jars and torches. It appears foolish, a God so weak, a fetus in the womb, a child, and then a man crucified. But God's foolishness, his way, is true wisdom after all. Because your sin is paid for by Jesus' dying. Your death is undone by that dying for you. And death has been swallowed up altogether by Jesus' rising. The darkness is vanquished and the light shines from the fonts, from the altars, and from the pulpits, with the blood and water springing forth from the punctured side of Jesus' own human body. Where there was darkness, sin, and death, now resides light, forgiveness, and life. Light, forgiveness, and life of those who are guilty of committing an abortion. And hope for the victims too. For what Christ has assumed, he has redeemed. And what he has taken upon himself is of infinite value to the Father. And he himself, the Word incarnate, was a zygote, a blastocyst, a fetus, a baby born in the womb. Truly, Mary's body does not belong to her after all. Her womb and every mother's womb is the workshop of the Holy Spirit, where he knits you together, a body, to live with God the Father forever. No one's body belongs to themselves. You are not your own. For each of you has received your body and your own self as a gift from God your Creator. And each of you has been purchased by the blood of Christ our Redeemer. And what a marvelous work it is that he does. Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. May rise for the introit, or for the collection.
Lord of all nations, your Son became flesh to enlighten a world darkened by sin with his grace. Visit us with his gifts of forgiveness and life, that our way may be glorious with his salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Lord, your Son's cross and crucifixion is folly to the world, but it is the source of repentance and forgiveness for all his elect. Preserve the preaching of the cross in our midst, that from this life-giving tree we would continue to receive your faith-preserving gifts. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have called us to be united in the same mind and judgment in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Preserve us from divisions and quarreling brought by false teaching and cults of personality, and fix our eyes on the word of the cross. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, all kingship belongs to you. Rule over the nations for the good of your people, that we might live in peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy God, your Son welcomes the sick, the afflicted, and those oppressed by demons, and healed them. Have mercy upon all whom we bring before you in prayer, especially Harold, Esther, Sean, Austin, Thomas, Kathy, Prabhu, Aubrey, Barbara, Charlotte, Maya, Wanda, Kenny, and Patricia, and deliver them according to your gracious will. Lord, in your mercy. O God, creator of life, you knit us together in the wombs of our mothers, and you desire us to have life. So also your only begotten Son took on flesh in the womb of his mother, and entered this world as all children of men do, except without sin, so that he might be one with us and make us your children. Look in mercy and love upon all the precious lives of children yet unborn. Guard them and give them growth, that they might come to the saving water of holy baptism and a saving knowledge of your Son. Protect and guide all pregnant mothers, that they would treasure the new life they are given to bear, and not be dismayed by fear of pain or cost. Strengthen all fathers, that they would protect and provide for both mother and child, so that all would be cared for in this world. Encourage young people to get married, and encourage husbands and wives to desire the gift of children, that they might be fruitful and multiply according to your gracious will. Finally, visit with your grace those who have committed awful sin by destroying life in the womb. Bring them to repentance, but do not let them sink into despair. Forgive and heal their souls, that they would trust in the child of Mary, who was killed for their sin and rose again to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I thank you all for joining us this morning, this Life Sunday, to hear about the gift of life that we have been given and all that Christ has done to redeem this body and life, and perhaps its implications for the way we live our lives. Do not forget that we have a carry-in potluck after the service to commemorate this day, so don't leave, but come over and get some food. Let's see here. The potluck is sponsored by Ladies Aid, and so is the Life Sunday. When we speak about issues of life, of course, most on the forefront is often abortion, which has been something our nation has dealt with since 1973, but we also do not want to forget that there are many aspects to the assault on life, including the increasing acceptance of euthanasia as well. And we do not want to forget also that we don't just want to make abortion illegal to save children, but we also want to support mothers who are in a difficult situation so that they can raise their children without that difficulty. And on that line, we have put in the bulletin a couple local charities, both the Pregnancy Life Center over in Van Wert and then the Hope Clinic over in Decatur, which provide things like prenatal care, formula, diapers, parenting classes, all of those sorts of things to women who might need them and might not be able to get them otherwise. And so I would encourage you certainly to look them up and perhaps give them some money. They take donations online or see what sort of donations of things they might need. Me and Natanya just donated a car seat, that sort of thing, to support mothers in that very difficult situation that they often can find themselves in. Esther Schweier, we have noted in the bulletin that she has moved out of Van Wert Manor and home, but she is actually not home right now. She is in the hospital at Van Wert. Hopefully she'll be home today. I visited her yesterday. She said to let you all know that she's doing as well as she can be and not to worry about her too much, but that she appreciates your prayers. But in the near future, if anyone does wish to visit her, you can arrange that with Christine, her daughter, who she's living with now, and the phone number is there in the bulletin. So keep Esther in your prayers. The Endowment Committee will be meeting on January 29th after the service. So if that is relevant to you, don't forget about that meeting. Any other announcements that I may have missed this morning? Okay, depart in peace.